Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Just after 4:30, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Katy Perry once glanced at a cricket match on TV. Now she thinks she's John Edwards. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Have you seen all those memes on Facebook?
No, I have.
It never ends. Look for them. They are funny as heck. Katy, of course, going into space and now saying that she's an astronaut.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Literally 7 minutes in heaven.
There you go. All right. The World Hockey Championship. My goodness. Canada goes down to defeat to Denmark of all teams. What do you make of that?
You don't want to get in the way of that famous Danish buzzsaw. Nobody is happier that the Jets got eliminated than Denmark is, because that let Nicholas Ehlers join them. He managed to tie the game up, and then the Danes won it in regulation, which is a huge upset. You know, they're the ones who put up 22 shots in the third period, so you can't say they didn't deserve it. But if you're Canada, what the heck are you doing losing to Denmark? The summit will happen at the usual date and time.
Wow. What's worse, this loss or the one against Latvia for the juniors in December?
This one might be worse because it was an elimination game. Canada is sort of notorious for doing a face plant at the Worlds against some country that barely knows what shape a puck is, but usually like the first or second game of the round robin. But, you know, to do it in a quarterfinal is not great.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we would bring you the teams that are part of the semifinals this weekend, but quite frankly, we don't really care anymore.
There's Denmark and a bunch of other inferior teams. That's all we know.
Okay, I got you. The Laval Rocket in the AHL, they play game number 4 tonight against Rochester. What do you make of the AHL playoffs? There's a 12-day delay between one series and the other, and this particular best-of-5 series just doesn't want to end because games 1 and 2 are played, and then there's a 5-night delay before games 3 and 4, for crying out loud.
It makes no sense. I mean, a 5-day gap in the middle of a playoff round is crazy. I mean, it's, I guess, designed to try to get all the games on weekends or something. You know, at the end of May, and it's still only 2 rounds into the playoffs for Laval. At this stretch, our long regional nightmare is going to go into July or August. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Hockey should end at the end of May. Who do you like? Do you like the Rockets playing Primo, or do you like them playing Fowler?
They've had good luck with rotation, but I think it's going to be pretty hard to keep that up. I think they've got to ride Primo as far as he can take them.
See, I disagree. I think Fowler should be the main netminder because he's future, man.
Well, he is. I mean, it sort of comes down to, are you trying to develop or are you trying to win the series? And not that Fowler doesn't give you a chance, but in the end, a lot of the time with goalies, you know, if you don't have one goalie, you have none. So
there you go. All right. NFL, tush push, John.
Well, they tried to ban it, but they failed. Packers needed to get 3/4 of the teams to be in favor of banning it, but they fell a couple of votes short. The tush push survives another year. It's barely a football play.
And Jim Irsay passed away.
Sad news and surprising because he wasn't that. He was only 65. It certainly was surprising. He's one of the last, I think, of the people who sort of singular owners. And certainly, I mean, he's a guy who grew up with the NFL because he inherited the team from his father. He started as a ball boy with the Colts way back, I think probably when they were still in Baltimore. You know, he's a man who dedicated his entire life to the NFL. So I think he'll be missed greatly in that league. Everybody else will miss him on Twitter.
There you go. Was he part of the Lock, Stock, and Barrel when they escaped Baltimore during the night when nobody was looking?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he came to Indianapolis on the Mayflower.
Talk to you at 5:30.
We'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
when I see.
Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Time for the News Review with Mike McDevitt, who's blessed us with taking time from building his ark to give us a few minutes to do this report this week. Hello.
Yeah, good day. Building an ark. I hadn't even thought of that, but...
If this keeps up, Michael, did you see the damage caused by the torrential rains again? Sherbrooke streets full of water. And I'm thinking, again? The events are coming closer together, and records are being broken almost all the time. There's this sinkhole in La Mauricie. You have to check it out. It is scary.
I did, yeah. It's quite something.
Oh, man. Now, according to the Insurance Bureau of Canada... 2024 set a new record with $8.4 billion in losses linked to extreme weather events. City Council addresses the infrastructure issues all the time. As a matter of fact, in 2012, the city had begun to reflect on the challenges of climate change. Unfortunately, city budgets aren't increasing in step with these demands. In the new normal, solutions have to be considered. In 2023, Stoke Mayor Luc Cayet advocated for an emergency fund to address climate change impacts. The problem is that, of course, the Quebec government, with everything going into health and education, there's not a whole lot left for dealing with this.
No, there isn't. Money is scarce, and there's so much that has to be dealt with. I can't pretend to have a solution for that. You're right about the severity and frequency of disasters. I mean, 100-year floods happen every 2 years now. And the rain that came down there last week, it freaked me out. It really did. I was amazed I didn't lose my power.
Yeah.
It was coming down like a mother.
And I don't want to scare you, but more on the way for the weekend.
Oh, I know.
Somebody posted on Facebook that we've had moisture, i.e. rain or snow, in the past 23 weekends in a row. Talk about never ending.
That's unbelievable. It's almost like a curse, you know. I mean, I'm glad I'm retired. Let's put it that way, because if you get 2 days out of the week that you're not working and it rains the whole time, it's just not fun. And it's cold still. What the hell is that all about?
I know what you're saying.
June next week.
I know. Been a bad month of May. Man. Let's go towards more positive stuff, Michael. Canada Post is facing what the Crown Corporation has called critical budget shortfalls. William Kaplan, the commissioner who conducted an inquiry commission into negotiations, said in his report that it's effectively insolvent or bankrupt. In the most recent financial report, Canada Post recorded a loss before tax of $748 million in 2023. That's 26% more than the year before. Canada Post workers, as we speak, probably on strike now. Since 2006, the number of letter mail volumes have declined 60%, with just 2.2 billion delivered in 2023. And privately owned companies have a bigger impact, with low-cost operations gaining significant ground. The report says its estimated parcel share has eroded from 62 to 29% last year. And these people don't want to negotiate, Michael. They want to stay status quo.
You know, I think it's the last days of the post office. I check my mail every couple of days. My box is always stuffed with crap, and none of it's mail. It's all advertisement, you know, what's new at Metro or stuff like that. Nuisance, as far as I'm concerned.
I had a stack of mail this week, Michael, mostly flyers.
That's all I get. And stuff's a thing crazy. It's funny, you know, I have a niece who's married to a guy that was working for the post office. He took a buyout because he didn't want to get vaccinated, you know, stupid reason. I think he made a smart decision. They gave him $400,000 or something.
Wow.
To quit his job, pension and everything. I don't know how it worked out exactly, but he ended up with a large sum of cash. I think he probably blew it on something like crypto or whatever, but it's not really the point. These offers, they're not going to last forever. I really feel sorry for post office workers. I really do. They've had good paying jobs. Nobody's using them anymore.
What do you make of their management wanting to continue a shift towards community mailboxes, as well as closing post offices and end door-to-door delivery, except for businesses? And Canada Post also wants to have more part-time employees. Do you see any other solution?
I don't even see that as a solution other than just putting the end off. I don't think the model works anymore. That's going to be bad news for people in really rural settings. I never go to the post office. I never mail anything. Everything I do is by email.
The downside, of course, are people with no computers or with limited mobility.
Well, exactly. I don't know what they're supposed to do. I think the days of the post office are numbered. I noticed that management refused to allow to accept a postponement of the strike, which is not a good sign as far as the union is concerned. I feel bad, but I really do. I'm at a loss for suggestions. I really am.
There's nothing funny about all of this, but I think this is the second time we've talked about this, and I think you said something to the effect a few months ago when we spoke about it. There's not as many people to shoe horses anymore either.
Exactly. The glory days are gone, you know, just like the railroad.
All right. The late-stage cancer diagnosis of former U.S. President Biden has some medical professionals wondering how the disease was able to go undetected when his health had been under intense scrutiny. The 82-year-old has been diagnosed with prostate cancer at stage 4, which is considered to be the most advanced. Republicans are saying, hey, cover up on both his physical and mental health during his presidency. A book called Original Sin out this week. Well, Biden's cabinet members described how access to the oldest person to ever serve in the office dropped off considerably in 2024. One person said, I don't think he has dementia. He said, one thing is for sure, he's just an old man. The president can give you 4 to 6 hours per day, but that was about it. Then he got tired and he got sloppy. Is this like a scandal in the making, Michael?
Not really. You know, he was fading. He's an old man. And cancer or not, he's an old man. Now, the cancer diagnosis, how it went so long, stage four, because it spread to the bone. So I know all about that. It's not fun. The medication won't do him any good. I don't think it's going to kill him. I think he'll die from something else before. You know, all it reflects on is that it took him too long to resign. I don't think anybody should make a big deal about this.
I feel sorry for Joe. He's been trounced on by the actual president. A lot of people in the United States called him Sleepy Joe and just had really negative things for him. But the truth is, he had a really positive presidency.
He did, and he doesn't get any credit for it. People are still blaming everything on Biden, even though everything went better during his term. He made a lot of the right decisions that Trump has gotten rid of. They passed their stupid budget, great big beautiful bill there that's going to wipe out Medicare and Medicaid and give some billionaires a few extra $1,000 a year.
Trump is really pouncing on his people that elected him.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't give a damn about that.
Yep.
He doesn't have to worry about being reelected again. He's got his $400 million airplane, for God's sake.
Yep. Speaking of Trump, that call with Putin this week, anything substantial will happen?
Putin probably got a pretty good chuckle out of it. Trump's imagination stretches to understanding maybe rotten real estate deals. Other than that, Putin's just laughing at him. The Russians are laughing at him, while the rest of the world is laughing at him, too, except for those of us that are really feeling the pain. By now, sanctions are supposed to have been crippling the Russian economy. That hasn't happened. They're still selling their oil. They've got an alliance base that's bigger than the G7.
And the genocide continues in Gaza. Netanyahu continues to pummel innocent people who have nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. All of this so he can stay in power, because the Israeli government depends on coalitions with far-right groups to stay alive, and they'll do anything to do that.
Yeah, that's a disgrace too. I'm getting really, really, really fed up with everybody that's opposing the Israeli government being called an anti-Semite. It's ridiculous. The country is behaving like a mob gang. You can't criticize them because, anti-Semitism. That doesn't work anymore. I'm sorry. I'm glad that Canada has finally begun to realize that these guys are not nice people. Nobody's going to stop it. You know, he's bombing rubble now and killing children. Ones that he's not blowing up, he's starving. So
it breaks my heart to see the images coming there.
It's horrible. It's unacceptable. And you know what? I don't think we'd put up with it from anybody else. I really don't.
It's a sad world, man. Holy
God. It is a terribly sad world.
Mike McDevitt, the Weekly News Review, right here on the Friday Drive. Thank you again, and have a great rainy weekend.
Yeah, thanks for cheering me up there again, Daniel.
Anytime, Michael. Anytime. Take care.
Have a good weekend.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Oh, this is the start of something good. Don't you agree? I haven't felt like this in so many moons. You know what I mean? And we can heal through this distraction as we are standing on our feet. So, since you want to be with me, you'll have to follow through with every word you say. And you have to follow through.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure right now, reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor, how are you?
Hi, Daniel. I'm doing well. I could use some sunshine with all this gray, but no, I'm doing good. I hope you're doing well, too.
I'm fine. Somebody posted last week on Facebook something to the effect that in the past 22 weekends, we've had some form of precipitation. Are you kidding me? Come on.
I know. It seems like every weekend and every time I want to get in my gardens, the rain decides to come down. So as we're working throughout the week, the sun is shining, but then the weekend comes and it's just rain. So hopefully we'll have some nice weekends in the near future.
Yeah, keep our fingers crossed. A couple of things from you this week, Taylor. Let's start with the IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's.
Yeah, so the Société Alzheimer's Brome Missisquoi and Oyamaska is hosting its IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's on May 25th. And so CIDI had the chance to get all the details around the event and how it will support the work of the Alzheimer's Society in 2025. We spoke with Caroline Hadlock, who's a social advisor with the organization, who emphasized that the yearly walk plays an important role for the local Alzheimer's Society because all of the money raised goes right back into the services that it offers to the regions of Brome Missisquoi and Oyamaska. So these services include personalized consultations, emotional support, respite services, customized training, and a number of different workshops. When we were speaking with Caroline, she explained that the number of individuals diagnosed with a neurocognitive impairment only continues to grow. As of right now, in Quebec alone, there are over 187,000 individuals who are living with Alzheimer's disease, according to the information that she provided. And it's projected that by 2050, that this number could reach over 360,000 individuals, making the need for services for those with a neurocognitive impairment and their caregivers and loved ones that much more significant. So as she noted that each territory in the province has their own organization that hosts a walk for Alzheimer's to help raise money for their organization. So if people are looking to support their local organization, they can always look into this a little bit more as each organization hosts its own event every year to raise funds for the services that it provides to members of their community. This is something that's happening here in Brome, Missisquoi and Oyamaska, but I'm sure there's other walks taking place too in the area. People are looking for more information. You can always go to the Société Alzheimer's Brome, Missisquoi and Oyamaska's website to get more details around this.
It's comforting to know that so much work is being done in that field. Those numbers, Taylor, are scary.
Yeah, no, they're quite high, honestly. And what's really great is that the local organization here that serves Brome, Missisquoi, and Oyamaska, they've been making a lot of strides within the last year or two to ensure that they provide services to the English-speaking community as well. So they've really stepped it up, and they're really making sure that the population has access to the services that they need. It's really, it's a great cause to support, and people are looking for these types of services. So and they're needed more and more as time goes by.
All right. A great cause indeed. Lake Brome Museum and the new temporary exhibition.
Yeah, so the Lac Vreau Museum here in Knowlton has launched its summer season. And when they launch their summer season, that comes with a new temporary exhibition. The new temporary exhibition that is taking place this year is titled Going Global, the Honorary Sydney Fisher's Travels to the World Expositions. So CIDI spoke with curator for the Lac Vreau Museum, Rachel Lambie, who gave some insights around the exhibition and what people will discover along the way. So as suggested in the title, the exhibition highlights the life and work of the Honorary Sydney Fisher, who was a farmer here in Brome County, and he actually served as the Federal Minister of Agriculture from 1896 to 1911. So as the Minister of Agriculture, he worked hard to get Canada on the world stage at a number of world fairs or world expositions, such as in Japan, for example, which was really interesting to see. And this is where farmers and producers in Brome County displayed their agricultural products, which mostly included maple products, butter, cheese, and dairy products. So using archives, photographs, and artifacts, the team at the Lac Vreau Museum wanted to tell the story of the Honorary Sydney Fisher and what was happening on the agricultural scene in Brown County at the time, and how what was being produced in the area was actually being recognized on the world stage. So it's really interesting, and they are officially open. So they're open 7 days a week. If anyone wants to make their way out to the area to visit the exhibit, the team is there and they're ready for all of your questions. It'll be interesting to see what people take and learn from this exhibit.
Daily news bits can be heard over CIDI991.com/website. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Periods of rain tonight, low plus 5. Tomorrow, more periods of rain, high 9. Saturday night, periods of rain, low 6. Gets better starting on Sunday. Clearing skies, high 15. Ed Humphrey comes in just after 5 o'clock with people, places, and events in the Eastern Townships. Interview of the week this week, Don Warnholtz, President of the Board of Directors of the Townshipers Association and Directeur General of the Dixville Foundation. 5:30 Sports, John Edwards. 5:40 Arts and Culture, Sonia Patnode is back from vacation. She's got lots to talk about. All on the Friday Drive at CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.